The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. Live from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM tonight. We've got so much to talk about in the world of soccer and the world of the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. Now, the Dynamo coming off a 2-1 home win over the San Jose Earthquakes, as former manager Dominic Kinnear and striker Chris Wondolowski made their way back to Houston. But this was a game of huge importance for both the Earthquakes and the Dynamo. The Dynamo got goals from DeMarcus Beasley and Alex Lima to counter one from Quincy Amerikwa for the Earthquakes. 2-1 winners. Next up for the Dynamo, a three-game road swing that likely could be very defining in their season when it comes to potentially getting into the playoffs. Meanwhile, tonight, the Houston Dash are on the road at Seattle to take on the Seattle Reign, 9 Central Time. Hope Solo not expected to play in that one. Megan Rapinoe is for Seattle, but it is important now for the Houston Dash with only 4 games to go. They got to win games. They got to take points. And a lot of pressure on them at the Memorial Stadium in Seattle on an artificial surface. You can catch that game by going to HoustonDynamo.com and then looking for the link to the Houston Dash. And you can watch the game streamed on the internet. Now, next Friday, the Seattle Reign will come to Houston for a nationally televised match on Fox. And something tells me you will see Hope Solo back in goal for Seattle in that one. We stream at YSR1560.com. All your information for the Dynamo and the Dash. Plus, you can also get over to HoustonDynamo.com for Dynamo and Dash tickets. Your humble host here, Glenn Davis. More big news in Houston as well when it comes to the sport of soccer is that September 4th, Argentina will play Bolivia at BBVA Compass Stadium in that amazing, intimate environment. I know the Dynamo are linking up with this match with Argentina to do ticket packages. There's some wonderful values there. But can you imagine seeing Argentina in a small, intimate, beautiful stadium like BBVA Compass with the likes of Lionel Messi, Angel Di Maria, Javier Mascherano, Sergio Aguero, and more. This game comes on an international date, so you will see stars there. What a moment for the Houston soccer scene, and what a compliment for the professional game of the Dynamo here in Houston, and maybe just a precursor to Houston being a host city for next year's Copa Centenario. And let's not forget, if we go way back, all the way into the 70s and 80s, international games were being staged here. And the soil was tilled to the point where ultimately Mexico and the U.S. played at Reliant Stadium over there, brought the attention of Houston as a soccer city nationally and internationally. The Dynamo then come, build a stadium to our beautiful menu of stadiums here in Houston, and all of this has led to a point where you can have the number one team in the world here. For the first time ever. It's been a spectacular run for the sport here in Houston. It just continues to climb, and Argentina is just another feather in the cap of Houston. I will tell you that I've heard differing things that tickets are either available Friday or Saturday. I do know that there's a lot of people interested in this game, and you better not wait around because these tickets are going to go. They're going to go quickly. It's like watching a Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones or some historic band in a small pub-type atmosphere as opposed to a giant stadium. This is a rare opportunity, I don't think any question. Now, the Dynamo and San Jose locked horns on what was a very grueling hot night in Houston. The game marked the second visit back to Houston for former manager Dominic Kinnear and striker Chris Wondolowski. Yet, those storylines really took a backseat to just the importance of this game for both teams when it came to getting into the playoffs. Now, let's rewind. Starting with the opening goal from the Houston Dynamo, DeMarcus Beasley on this night was spectacular. Beasley would race past San Jose center back Victor Bernardes, who, by the way, was carrying a yellow. So when you look at that play, you realize Bernardes has a yellow card. He's not going to extend a leg. He was caught rooted to the ground, but he wasn't going to get into a tackle because it could have been a sending off for him. Meanwhile, Beasley would go past him like nothing, beat goalkeeper David Bingham to his right. Here's how it sounded on Root Sports.
Miranda now. Giles Barnes. And Giles wake up. That's a good ball from Barnes. It's a penetrating pass to Beasley. Beasley races past two. Is this goal number one? Yes, it is. The Dynamo get first blood here at BBVA Cuppa Stadium. DeMarcus Beasley with his first of the year.
Minute, more drama, carrying a yellow card. Fatai Alashe would commit a professional foul in midfield. He would get sent off. The Earthquakes now with 10 men.
Raul Rodriguez got caught in possession. Barnes again held up by Alashe, and he may be gone.
Yeah.
He's gone. And you knew it was coming. It was a matter of time here tonight. He's been very undisciplined from San Jose. I don't think there's any question. You would have put odds on somebody getting sent off tonight, and now their mountain just got bigger to climb.
10 minutes later, though, San Jose would tie things up. The Dynamo sloppy defending a set piece. They don't get the ball cleared. Players not moving out in unison. No pressure on the ball. Quincy Amarikwa would tie it up. Here's how it sounded on Root Sports.
It would be Tommy Thompson. Off the delivery. Bad balls headed back into the box. The Dynamo win the second. They need to win the third. And they do. It's Lima. Make that Garrido. He lost it. There's a big switch of play here. It's headed across the face of goal. Wondolowski was there. It's all tied up. Sloppy from the Dynamo. They get punished. They don't defend the set piece through all the phases. And Quincy Amarikwa, I believe, has chested it in.
But 7 minutes later, the Houston Dynamo would get the game winner. This was a beautifully constructed goal after a great switch of play from Shane and Williams. Williams would find Boniac Garcia. He would make a powerful run of conviction behind the San Jose defense. Garcia weighting the pass perfectly to Williams, who at the end line would whip in the cross to Alex Lima, who would crash the ball into the net and fall into the net himself. Here is the call on Root Sports. This, the Dynamo game-winning goal.
Rodriguez will switch it. Bends it to Shannon Williams. He's got a ton of space out here. Thompson trying to get over there to cover him. Boniac Garcia. Oh, that's a good ball from Boniac Garcia. Williams will square it. It's all. It's 2-1. It's Alex Lima. The Dynamo respond. Williams to Lima. It's 2-1 Houston.
Now, on this site, a number of things to consider here. The Dynamo gets this result here without the likes of Nathan Sturgis, who was suspended, and Ricardo Clark out injured. Also, Jermaine Taylor injured. Boniac Garcia would make his return, and for the first time, we saw the smile of Boniac Garcia come back. He was a passing machine when he came on, hitting penetrating balls, including the one to Shannon Williams that led to the Dynamo game-winning goal. So good to see Boniac Garcia coming back, playing well at a perfect time of the year here. Alex Lima continues to produce important moments for the Houston Dynamo, getting the game-winning goal acquired from the Chicago Fire. The downside on the night, a little lack of concentration at times. The Quincy Amarikwa goal came from a lack of concentration, and there was a moment in the first half where a quick free kick from Shea Salinas caught the Dynamo sleeping. It put Chris Wondolowski in, but Joe Willis came up with a huge save. Shannon Williams, his third game since being acquired from the Philadelphia Union, producing another good game. Again, as we mentioned, DeMarcus Beasley, the man of the match. Will Bruhn, tireless effort up front, just really worked his socks off. So it was a great night for the Dynamo, a huge 3 points. And now the Houston Dynamo sit only 1 point behind Seattle with the game in hand in seventh place in the Western Conference. Next up for the Dynamo, fifth place in the East, New England, who are 8-9-7. And the Revolution are sitting on 31 points as well. So the Dynamo will go to Gillette Stadium this Saturday night. It's a game you can catch on Root Sports. Join Eddie Robinson and I. We got a full half-hour pregame show and postgame show. So get into it. It's the Dynamo New England this Saturday night. Then Houston will go to Portland. Another game on the artificial surface. A second consecutive road game. Then a third consecutive road game, which will be at altitude in Colorado. So if you put a little bit of a circle around these next three road games for the Houston Dynamo, there is so much at stake for this team. And things could be a little bit more defined when the Dynamo come back from this road trip. But first thing first, it is the focus of the New England Revolution. They are playing better soccer right now. They are likely going to get Jermaine Jones back for more minutes in this game. You'll hear a little bit from him later in the show. We'll talk New England Revolution with Brad Feldman. We've got the manager, Owen Coyle, who's got a lot to say about the Houston Dynamo. We'll catch up with Randy Waldrum, the Houston Dash manager, who is out in Seattle. We're catching up with him prior, and I mean close to match time here, before the Seattle Rain game. Also, you'll hear from David Horst, Raul Rodriguez, also on this show tonight. It is going to be a good one. Stay with us. We'll take a break on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. This is Dynamo All Access.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Our weekly visit with the manager, well, we're ready to do it right now. Here he is, Owen Coyle of the Houston Dynamo, ahead of their three-game road trip. The Dynamo coming off a 2-1 win against San Jose. A great night. Owen, let's just get your initial thoughts on this great win, and thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Glenn. Thanks for having me. I think it was important. You and I spoke about this last week. Getting into the game, we wanted to carry on the momentum that the players and the team and the club are having. An important thing was to get that win. A lot of little ironies, as you know, with San Jose, with obviously Dominic coming back into town and Mark Sherrod and various tie-ups. But the important thing is that we performed well, got the 3 points, and we did that. I think at times we could have made it easier on ourselves in terms of managing the game better, but there's no doubt the application, the quality of play that the lads are bringing, it's there for everyone to see. We scored two fantastic goals, could have had a few others, but all in all, it was a valuable and a well-earned 3 points.
Yeah, let's talk about the quality of these goals, and first the DeMarcus Beasley one. He comes racing up the left side. What a night DeMarcus Beasley had.
He did, and look, Glenn, he's been outstanding for me, as I often tell you, from day one. But the great thing is now, as he's been doing, he's been threatening the goal so many times. And I said to him actually before the game, it's about time one went in the back of the net for you, and which it did. But it was a wonderful move starting from the back. Giles had popped up in a little middle area and played a wonderful weighted pass that took three players out of the game to DeMarcus, who then went and back to his old days in the wing, taking people on, been pleasing on the eye, and then 1v1 with the goalkeeper, slots it in the bottom corner. So it was a fantastic goal and a well-earned move from the whole team. But it's great for DeMarcus, obviously, to score a goal of that caliber.
This win must take on even more special value to you because, look, your two previous starting central midfielders in the prior games, Ricardo Clark, Nathan Sturgis, not available. Also, Joe Willis has to come in goal for the injured Tyler Derrick. I mean, this has to be a very satisfying victory for you at this point of the year.
It is, Glenn, again, for a number of reasons. That was one of the aforementioned. We had players missing after, as I say, being in good form, taking care of the Galaxy at home in emphatic style, going and earning a hard-earned point at Kansas when we felt a game we could equally have won. And then all of a sudden you've got key players missing, key personnel. But to be the credit to the lads, they've coped with that all year. It's very rarely have we been able to have consistency or continuity with selection and have the best players fit and healthy and available for international reasons and different things. So that, that added to the enjoyment of the victory. The other thing that was important as well, because now the form we're in and getting to the business end of the season, we want to be closing the gap on the others just above us in the conference. And on Friday, Portland had won, scored late on, and then obviously Sporting Kansas had won before we played. So then that adds a little bit of so-called pressure, whatever you want to call it, to the game. But the lads stood up to that, and as I say, we showed the momentum over. And the other great thing as well, it was great to be back at home. You touched on it earlier, we're now going a three-game road trip, you know, but including the game, obviously, on Saturday, we've already played 8 out of the last 12 on the road, and after this stretch, it'll be 11 of 15, which has been an incredible ask of the players, but they're up for every challenge. And when we do that and come out of that stretch, we know that we stay intact, as we've done. We then go into a stretch of 4 games at home out of 5 at the BBVA. We've been in fantastic form. Took care of Portland, you know, as you know, took care of the Red Bulls. Through a game with Chicago, we certainly felt we should have won. Took care of the Galaxy, took care of San Jose. So we're in great form, and we've also showed on the road that we can achieve results. So that's why, you know, the game against San Jose was so important on many different levels. And we want us to continue and finish strongly. You know, we accept that the first 10 games, we take 10 points when we're bedding things in and implementing ideas. But now, as I said, the last 13 games, we're taking 21 points, and all the majority of those games have been on the road. So that augurs well for us moving forward into the business end of the season, as I always call it.
Now, when you said manage the game, you wanted a few different decisions at particular times relative to the time and score of the match and things like that?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I use old term because you and I we're old fashioned in many ways as well, Glenn, and we use old fashioned terminology. What I mean by that game management and football and soccer intelligence, for want of a better phrase, is understanding that when you're particularly 1-0 in front and a man up or 2-1 in front, then you're going to have opportunity to get that next goal. But that means taking care of the ball. It means stretching the opposition. You know, making sure that we have width from side to side. And that's how we scored the second goal, Glenn. As you know, we started in the left with Brad Davis, back to DeMarcus Beasley, into Raul Rodriguez, switch of play to Shannon Williams. Boniek shows wonderful movement coming from the centre forward position into midfield, played into Boniek. Shannon continues run, a weighted pass inside the fullback. Alex Lima then, everything we do in the training ground, as you've seen extensively, played great ball for Shannon, and Alex Lima's there to finish it off. So I just felt we could have did more of that, and that's what we're talking about game management. Even in the last seconds of the game, and you will remember this, when young Rashid Olabaye, who's terrific when he came on, when he races to the byline, there's 30 seconds in the game left. And I know he's that young and eager, he wants to put a cross in, but you and I know that he should have put his foot in the ball, kept the ball there in that area, and just and the game would have run out. But you put a cross and it goes for a goal kick, and all of a sudden San Jose have an opportunity to launch a ball in your box, which might result in a goal. So my understanding, the way I want it done, is that you take that out of the equation, you manage the game properly so that you achieve the result, because that's what we all want. We want to be picking up results, as we all speak about, while we're implementing the ideas on the training ground that will come to fruition in time.
Now, you've slowly and patiently been really, you know, you made it very clear you wanted a very good wide game. The wide game is vital to you in the way you manage a team. And, boy, the last couple of games, you're getting penetration. You're getting your outside backs into the attack. I think you must be thrilled with the steps up the ladder, I guess, is what I should say.
Yeah, well, we are, Glenn, because we know that bit by bit, my belief has never altered. My philosophy has never altered from day one in terms of what we want to implement at the Dynamo. Now, of course, that takes time. But people that's winning the game understand that. But I also understand that people want results in the here and now. So it's trying to balance that, picking up results while we're improving as a team. And we are improving, there's no doubt about it. But we must continue to do that. We must continue to progress. And we all have the same aim. Fans, owners, the president, Chris Kinetti, Matt Jordan, myself. The same aim is to be successful for Houston Dynamo. And we'll leave no stone unturned to try and achieve that.
Owen Coyle, the Dynamo manager, joining us ahead of their game against the New England Revolution. If you want to catch it on TV this weekend, it'll be on Root Sports. They will be at Gillette Stadium, the Razor, in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Giles Barnes, now, he seemed to play a little deeper in this game. Was that by design, Owen?
Yeah, well, what happened is, you know, we mentioned that Nathan Sturgis and Ricardo Clark were both missing from the game. So what we wanted to do, obviously, with that in mind, was Luis Garrido come in, and I've got to say, I thought he had a great game, Glenn, in the middle of the park. And we implemented, obviously, with Giles, and Brad was the one that went a little bit higher up. And obviously we changed that as the game went on. But that, Giles is so flexible and so important to us. And he's so unselfish for the team that he's prepared to play in different areas. And it led to the first goal. We then used him higher up in the game later on. But the great thing was that we have those types of players that we often speak about, Glenn, that players that can play multi-position. Because we don't have the wealth of the Houston, we have players that are prepared to play the part and play different roles for the Dynamo, and Giles Barnes is one of those.
Yeah, selfless attitude. And Alex Lima, I mean, you really have nurtured him along beautifully. Also, Kubo Torres, now you had the luxury of maybe nurturing him along a little bit more at the pace you want as opposed to just thrusting him in there.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, Alex Lima and Kubo Torres are the same thing. It's building them up, it's getting them fully fit. And that's the same way Eric Moreira is now. So it's and once they're at the maximum, you can bring them in. And you see with Alex Lima, the quality that he's bringing. And there's no doubt in time when Kubo's going to bring that as well. I mean, he's going to be a sensational player for the Dynamo. And the great thing is we have goal scorers, we have real competition, and they're all playing their part.
Owen Coyle joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Will Bruin worked his tail off up front in this game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Will, as you see, I mean, it was a touch and go whether he was fit to play, Glenn. I've got to say that. And he was desperate to be out there. And again, he led the team well. He showed, you know, what a real number nine brings to the team. And that's why I've said before, he's one of those players that can contribute without scoring. And I think that epitomised the team's performance, everything that Will Bruin brought to the team.
Now, did you, I thought at times San Jose was a little undisciplined in their tackling. It led to three yellow cards in the first half. And we both, up in the television booth, humbly thought, boy, there's a real good chance somebody's getting sent off here tonight because it just doesn't look like they're reining the tackles in. And lo and behold, Alashi goes off.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. And the thing I've said about that before, we knew it was going to be a tough game. They're a physical team. We had to stand up and be counted. And I felt with that. And we have strong players. We have players that can go stand toe-to-toe. We want to play a passing game. But there'll be times that we're going to have to show that we're prepared to put our foot in as well. And there was some tough tackling. My claim always, when it's premeditated, it should be sorted out. And I don't want the Giles Barnes and players of that quality. And that's the same for every other team, you know, getting kicked when it's really not on.
Yeah, you know, the more games I watch now, because we've been focusing on Giles here, and we do get robbed when the professional foul occurs in midfield. We get robbed of seeing, you know, I find myself now, and trust me, I've done the same thing. I don't want to act like an angel here, but, you know, I find myself going, wow, I would have loved to have seen how that attack would have worked out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And, you want your best players playing, as every team does, and you want them being allowed to play and flourish, because this is a growing league. We want the best players in it, and we want to attract players. And we don't want to be coming and thinking, well, I'm not going there because I'll not be allowed to play. You want those players to flourish.
Owen, emotional control is so key. And in a game like this, when the tackles are flying, it seemed like you guys emotionally were very, very under control.
Well, we have to be because, I mean, I think harshly a couple of times, we've been punished with players receiving red cards. So the one thing we stress, myself and Sandy and Wade to the players, is that when we can, we control our discipline. We know players, you know, if teams and we're doing well are going to come and try and stop you from playing. We've got to understand that we control our discipline. We keep focused. We don't try and give needless fouls away. And that was important because it's easy to get caught up in that, you know, and you've been there yourself, going, the red mist comes over you. But again, it's getting too important at this stage of the season that we need to try and keep 11 on the field. And if somebody else and the other team's going to, you know, be the sinners against you, then so be it.
Owen, the only area maybe somebody might be slightly critical here is maybe a little bit mentally offset pieces and then maybe a quick free kick in this game. Did you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I said to when I showed the players, there was nothing we showed them beforehand that surprised them in the game. And that's that concentration focus we speak about. I mean, the goal that we lost, we cleared it twice. And I think people were actually wanting to rush forward, Glenn, before we controlled the ball. And that led to, obviously, the ball headed back across. Big Joe comes out thinking $1 getting a touch and misses it, and Joe Willis has been outstanding for us. So I've said before, we win as a team, and you know, hopefully if we lose when we're and it's all played not too often, we lose as a team. So we pick ourselves up and we know we're not the finished article. We know there's stuff that we can improve on. And the players know that as well, and that's what's good about it. Yeah, this is a group of players that's hungry to get better.
Owen, last thing before we let you go, just how about a word on the New England Revolution? Jermaine Jones, the U.S. international, expected to play some part in this game coming back from injury. What are your thoughts on New England on an artificial surface?
Well, again, it's on the tough for us, which I'm not a big lover of, as you know, but we'll go there and we've shown in the road that we can pick up results. Jermaine Jones, a very good player. I actually tried to sign him back in the Premier League for Bolton, Glenn.
Oh, wow.
And they have terrific players, Lee Wynn, Charlie Davis, Fagundes. Tierney, the left back, likes to get forward. Very good players within their team. They've had, obviously, they've come out the other side now of a poor run they were on. So we know we're going to have to be our best. But as I've said before, we believe in this group of players that they can go and achieve that positive result. And as I say, with the three road games, we want to make sure that we stay intact. Because when they're on the home games coming up, we know we can capitalise on that.
Owen, as always, we thank you very much. We wish you the best of luck in New England, and we're looking forward to seeing you take on the Revolution.
A pleasure, Glenn. Thanks very much, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Owen. That's Owen Coyle, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. Break time here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. You know I got to get paid.
Oh. You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. From high atop the Gal building overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we welcome back to the show. We've had him on already, and it's been a quick journey here from Philadelphia for Shannon Williams, but he is here. He has played in three straight games for the Houston Dynamo and has had outstanding performances in all of them. He joins us now. Shannon, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, I guess hotel life is getting old, huh?
Yeah, real old, real fast, for sure.
Yeah, you're still looking for a place and getting settled, but the whirlwind, you got thrust right into it. The manager told you what he wanted, and you've really had three wonderful games in a row. It seems like you felt very comfortable from the word go here.
Yeah, really, real comfortable. I think that's a testament to the coaching staff and giving me an opportunity that I wasn't necessarily getting in Philadelphia, and also to my teammates who've done a fabulous job making me feel welcome and making me feel a part of the team as quickly as possible.
So your first impressions, you've only been here a short amount of time. You're getting successful results with you in the lineup. Just what about are some of the difference, you know, outside of, you know, having to live in a hotel and the heat, what are some of the things that are different from Philadelphia that maybe take a little adjusting to?
Yeah, obviously when you switch teams, there's definitely little nuances here and there that are different than what you're used to, especially me being coming out of Philadelphia where I played for 6 years. And I think that the biggest change has really been the coaching staff and how they push the team and how the team works. I think that they do a great job of really pushing the guys to be better. And, you know, for me, it's been great. It's something new. Something that, you know, has definitely been something that I've wanted for a long time.
Yeah, do you notice sometimes, I mean, you know, you're a veteran of Major League Soccer now, you said 6 years. Do you ever notice that some players get into environments in this league, no matter what the team, and they seem to get comfortable? Because I think I've seen that over the years, and I think it's very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I definitely think that happens across the league, and it's definitely something that you never want to be too comfortable. You always want to be, you know, pushing yourself and pushing to get better. So I think that, you know, Houston giving me an opportunity to change up the scenery for myself has been a good change for me.
Shannon Williams joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. All right, look, we knew you as an attacking right back in Philadelphia. How much of your role has been defined or changed maybe a little bit here in Houston, if at all?
Yeah, it's definitely changed a little bit. Obviously, Coach has no problems with the outside backs getting to the attack. But in literally our first meeting, he said, listen, you know, I understand what you could do offensively for us, but, you know, you're here to defend first. And really, we've tried to be good defensively, and then let that kind of springboard us onto attacking plays and whatnot during the game. And I think that's why we've been successful since I've been here in the three games that I've played in. I've seen us be good defensively, and then that turned into something good going towards goal.
Did you kind of ease your way into it as far as trying to get in the attack? And did you kind of tell yourself before your first game that, you know, first and foremost, I want to defend here well, and then at opportune times, maybe join in?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, not getting a lot of practice time, I wanted to take the first game kind of easy. Hard to do that when it's against LA and a team that's as good as they are and as good as a form as they're in right now. But definitely wanted to take it slow and try to work my way into the game, especially, you know, with it being my first game with the Dynamo. You try not to make too many mistakes, but you can't really be thinking about making mistakes. You just kind of have to go out there and play.
So you've played in three games. The team's only conceded two goals. You got a 3-0 win over the LA Galaxy. Talk to me a little bit about Raul Rodriguez, David Horst, DeMarcus Beasley, and kind of this unit that you four are becoming.
Yeah, great group of guys. Different experience levels on from different walks of life, you could say. And all three of them have been great. Me and Dave, obviously, have formed a quick partnership on the right, and you can see that Raul and DeMarcus have formed definitely a good partnership on the left. It's good to see that, you know, it's been working out, and they're a talented group of guys. You have, you know, obviously DeMarcus, who's been to a couple World Cups now, and you have Raul, who's been, you know, playing overseas in Spain, which is obviously one of the best leagues around the world. So you had me and David and the experience that we've had in the league, and I think it meshes well as a defensive unit.
The Dynamo in this phase right now, I mean, this is the best results phase that the team has put together this year. You guys are positioned now for the playoffs and making a run. You got three very difficult road games coming up. Tell me where the confidence level is here, and have you seen that even rise in the three games that you've played in your short time here?
Yeah, it's definitely high. Anytime you're getting good results, the team definitely gets on a little bit of a high. You know, you want to make sure that that's not a false high. You have to know that, you know, on any given day, any team can beat any team, especially in this league. So we definitely can't rest on the results that we've gotten in the past. We need to keep moving forward and hopefully put ourselves in the position to be in the playoffs at the end of the season. And obviously with three road games, that's a tough ask, and we're going to try to get as many points as we can on the road, and understanding that it's definitely a tough ask, and we're hopefully up for the task of being on the road for the next three games before we have a good homestead.
So, Shannon, what I point out to people, and I think most people know, you go on the road for three. Two of them are on an artificial surface, and then the third one's at altitude. So, you know, not only are you dealing with opponents, but you're also dealing with a changing environment and in some ways a climate.
Yeah, absolutely. Three completely different places to play, and three definitely different tasks at hand, and all of them difficult. Nothing will be easy as it comes down towards the end of the season. But like I said, we're in good form, and we know that when we play at our level, the level that we're capable of playing at, that we can get results.
As you mentioned, all three of those places are different. Any one of them more difficult in your mind to play in than the others, whether it be New England, Portland, or Colorado?
I wouldn't say so. They're all going to have their different stuff that makes each one difficult to play in, whether it be New England and that team. You know, they've been on a good run as of late, and finally getting Jermaine back, and then Portland with the atmosphere that they have. It's really one of the best around the league. And then lastly, Colorado at altitude. So definitely got to take each game one at a time and try to move forward that like that. I think if we look too far ahead, that we can kind of get ahead of ourselves and not really be sharp for the game at hand.
At home, are you noticing, and I know you've come here with Philadelphia prior, but are you noticing that teams are kind of in this immense heat down here hitting the wall like the 60th, 65th minute in and around that area?
Absolutely. I think that I know that when I used to play for Philadelphia, I hated to come down here. It's really a home field advantage and something that's tough to play against, especially when you're trying to chase the game. Luckily, we've been up in both games, so you really exert a lot of energy trying to get yourself back into the game. And obviously, with us being here and practicing in it day in, day out, it's definitely an advantage and something that's great, especially in the summer months, for us to make a good push.
Now, let's talk about Portland, because I'm going to be a little bit of a Portland apologist here and say that because they have a great environment, a great crowd there, that that sometimes lifts the opponent. Do you feel that when you go there in your past here in Major League Soccer, that playing in Portland, you get excited, you get motivated just because it's an amazing atmosphere?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody wants to play in front of a bunch of fans and in that atmosphere, and that's kind of, you know, why I'm sure a lot of people enjoy playing the game at this level, and Portland's definitely created something up there that's special, and not a lot of teams have. So definitely when you get a chance to play in that environment, you want to show well and you want to do well against them. But obviously there's no motivation needed. It's a game where we need 3 points, and they're a team that we're definitely chasing. So it's definitely going to be a good game, and hopefully one that we can get points from.
The goal that you played a part in, I love that goal because you're standing on the ball out wide, you knock it inside, and then it's so clear. You take off, you find a second gear, you get in behind a defender, you get a beautifully weighted ball from Boniek Garcia, and then you square a beauty to Alex Lima, and it ends up being the game-winning goal. But what a goal to be a part of. That just has to be such a spectacular feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's just me getting more comfortable with the group of guys and understanding my role a little bit better. Like I said, I was a little hesitant in the first game to kind of get forward. I wanted to make sure that, you know, everything was solid at the back, but I'm starting to get more comfortable, and as I do that, you know, I'll start to make more runs forward at the right times, and that was really just me feeling comfortable enough to get forward, and the guys making good runs, and obviously Boniek playing a great ball through for me to just run on, and all I had to do was pass across the goal.
How'd you like playing with Boniek Garcia?
It was great. Obviously a player that I've seen a lot in my years, and I obviously think that he's a great player in this league, and definitely one of the more dangerous players in this league. So happy to have him back in the lineup. I know that he's been fighting some injuries. So hopefully we can hopefully that's behind him, and we can move forward with him being a big part of our team.
Shannon, listen, thank you very much for coming on the program. Continued success. Best of luck on this extended road trip here. And thank you very much for coming on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, that's Shannon Williams. Dynamo acquired him from Philadelphia. 3 games. Shannon Williams, the Dynamo getting points, not giving up goals. He's joining in the attack. It's all good at this time of the year. Take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
On your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. From high atop the Dow Building overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. As we know tonight, the Houston Dash in action. They are out in the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Reign and Megan Rapinoe and company, and they are the number one team in the league, Seattle. It's a game you can catch over on the Dynamo Dash website, so go to HoustonDynamo.com. You will be able to find all the information where you can watch this game online here tonight. Pleased to be joined now by the manager, Randy Waldom. Randy, thank you very much for coming on.
I appreciate you having me.
Talk a little bit about where your team is positioned right now.
Well, you know, we're still in the hunt. I think the thing, Glenn, that we are all disappointed about is our last performance at home with Sky Blue, because you know, it was a game we really felt we should win, and we didn't get the result. And consequently, what we did is we lost the ability to control our own destiny. You know, so now then, win or not, had we beaten Sky Blue, we still need to continue to win as many of the remaining games as we could. But at least we controlled it. Now it is because we lost that game, both Portland and Kansas City were able to jump a couple points ahead of us. And so now, you know, not only do we need to take care of business, but we're going to need to make sure somebody else helps us along the way. So that's the disappointing part. But the good news is we're still in the hunt. This is where we wanted to be. You know, as we started this franchise last year, we wanted to be in the hunt for the playoffs this year. But we've got a difficult stretch. You know, we've got Seattle twice in a row. We've got Chicago, who's the second place team, and Boston left on the schedule. So it's not an easy task in front of us, but we're looking forward to the challenge.
Four games to go. You got a home-and-home series with Seattle. Seattle next Friday will come into BBVA Compass Stadium, and you'll have an opportunity to see the rain against the Houston Dash. You can go over to HoustonDynamo.com and then click the Dash link to get your tickets for that game. That is a nationally broadcasted game as well. Let's focus on tonight a little bit and Seattle and what they're about, because obviously it's a team that's got star quality, but it's also got others that maybe some people don't know about that are excellent players that have carried the rain.
Yeah, I think for the fans that haven't followed Seattle closely, they've got an unbelievable midfield. I think probably the best in the league. They've got Kim Little, Jess Fishlock, and Keelan Wenders. Keelan is a U.S. player. Fishlock and Little, I think, play for Wales and Scotland. So great players. Really can boss a midfield, you know. And I think the fans will be very impressed with them. And of course, you know, they have Megan Rapinoe, and I'm not sure if Hope is playing tonight. I think she's still out with an injury, but that's their two U.S. international stars. And but they just got a really, really good, solid team, Glenn, and they didn't miss much. You know, they only lost, you know, the two U.S. players during the World Cup. So they've had this core of players together since last year, and you know, they were dominant in the league last year, and they're back doing it again this year. So they play very attractive. The football that they play is very possession oriented, and it's they're a team that's fully capable, I think, of competing with any team around the world right now.
Randy, how do you get a bit of that midfield with Fishlock, Little, and company there? Because having watched them last year and done a couple of games in Seattle, that you're right. They do have a midfield that can manage and control games.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's going to be the key. I think you've got to – I don't think you can stop them. I think you've got to contain and control the best you can, and I think what you'll see tonight is we'll maybe try to condense the midfield a little bit. We'll get a fourth midfield player, you know, in and around the ball as much as we can, and I think we're at least a little better equipped this time than we were any other time that we've played them. Just based on the fact that we do have, you know, Morgan Brian here now, we didn't have last year, and Andressa has proven to be a really, really good pickup for us as well. And, you know, having a Carly Lloyd and a Rachel Axe, and I think we're going to be a little bit better equipped than we have been in the past. But like I said, I don't think you stop them. I think you've just got to control them and contain it and condense space and try to make it as difficult for them as they can. You know, we got to be firing on all cylinders. I think our soccer coaches and players are always talking about keeping your lines tight. You know, it's very important we don't get too stretched tonight defensively, and that we can keep all of our lines from our back to our front very tight and compact and try to condense the space that they have to operate in.
Artificial surface right up in Seattle. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, I'm obviously not a fan of artificial surface. I mean, we were out on the field and trained a little bit on it yesterday, and at least as artificial surfaces go, it's not a bad one. I've played on better, but we've certainly played on worse around the league. It's one of those things that you just have to deal with. And fortunately or unfortunately, both teams play on it, and that's the cards that you're dealt coming to Memorial. So, I don't think we can use that as any kind of an excuse about, you know, whatever happens in the game tonight.
Houston Dash manager Randy Waldrum joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Again tonight, they will take on the Seattle Reign in the Pacific Northwest. You go over to HoustonDynamo.com. You can find the link to where you can watch the game. That's where I'm going to watch it tonight. You can do the same. And this is great to get fresh stuff from Randy right before the game. It doesn't get any better than this. The Reign will then come here next Friday to take on the Dash. That will be a nationally televised broadcast from BBVA Compass Stadium. You know, it's got to be difficult for you with Carly Lloyd, Morgan Brian, Megan Klingenberg coming back. I would have to think these women were exhausted coming back, so probably doesn't make it any easier on you integrating them back into your team.
Well, it's tough on a couple of fronts, and yet at the same time, you go, they're star players, and, you know, you're just happy to have them back. But I do think you're right. I think they've been on this wild tour, you know, since their World Cup victory, and you know, while they're doing all that, you got the rest of your players that are sitting here kind of grinding things out and have gotten you through the season while they're gone. And so as a manager, you got to be careful to respect both sides of the equation. You know, we've known all along and prepared our team all along that when they come back, they're going to be playing. Because our season's not long enough, Glenn. You know, if we were like the Premier League and or some of the other leagues around the world where we had 8-month seasons or 10-month seasons, you could afford to integrate them back a little slower. But with only having a 20-game season and they miss, whatever, 10 or 12 games due to the World Cup and their training before the World Cup, you don't have time to set those players and ease them back into your team. You need them right away. But you got to worry about team chemistry, you know, with that. And so that's a management problem. I think the other side of it is Carly in particular has been on this whirlwind marketing tour since the Cup's been over. And I think, you know, we saw maybe a little bit of the trace the last game or two where I think you could see a little bit of the fatigue setting in on her. And so it's been good because we've finally, as of last week, we got her here for good last week. And we'll have her here the rest of the season. So it's really the first time she's been with us training on a regular basis this week. And if nothing else, at least we've got her resting now and sleeping in her own bed and those kind of things that she needs to be doing. So, you know, those are the challenges that come with a new league and with the league just trying to work around, you know, the other things that are important, much like the MLS had those growing pains, you know, 20 years ago.
He's Randy Waldrum. Tonight again, the Dash take on the Reign. Then they're going to come back next Friday, take on the Reign again at BBVA Compass Stadium, followed by another game at BBVA Compass Stadium against the Boston Breakers. Then you guys will close out your season at Chicago, who's had an outstanding season as well. So, man, these are four very difficult games here down the stretch, but there's still a lot of hope and possibility.
Absolutely. The points are still there, and we just need to continue to try to grab as many as we can, and then we'll see how things play out, you know, from that. We can't worry about the other teams. Now we have to just take care of ourselves and then see how, you know, the other teams do with their remaining games as well.
Randy, with all your experience at the college level, winning national titles, coaching youth national teams and being a part of national teams, speak to me just about the bump that the sport has gotten. I mean, obviously, we see more people in the seats down at BBVA Compass Stadium for the Dash. I mean, these are pretty exciting times for the women's game.
Well, it really is, and especially coming off of a World Cup year, you know, you get, you know, whether it's the men or the women, you know, you get a bump in attention, especially based on how the teams do, and certainly with our women, you know, winning the World Cup, you get that fan that's not a typical I'm going to be in the stands every weekend kind of fan that, you know, now are talking about your team. And, you know, we run into people at the airport now that stop us, and coming out here yesterday, there was all kinds of people that stopped us and wanted, you know, pictures and photo ops, and they recognize our players now. And some of those things that wouldn't have happened had, you know, the World Cup not gone on this summer and the U.S. won it. So it's definitely brought a lot of attention. It's always a good thing. It's a positive. And I think it's, you know, it's something that we hope gives us not only the bump this year, but that we can capitalize on it, you know, going into the next season as well. And I think that's the biggest thing I think we as a club in the city of Houston really need to capitalize on, and the rest of the teams in the league for that matter, is really how do we not only take advantage of it, you know, this season, which all the teams seem to be doing with the rise in the attendance, but now then how do we carry that on into next season to keep that excitement generated for the league? And hopefully with the Olympics coming on next, you know, right back to back and them being there next summer, we've got a good 2-year window of some success that we're able to really continue to build that fan base.
Randy, before we let you go, let's just get a couple of keys to this game. We already heard you say that you want to condense midfield and get good pressure on the ball against one of the best, if not the best midfield in the league, in your opinion. What would you add to that?
Well, I think in addition to it, once we have it, they've got a young goalkeeper that I think is going to be kind of backing up Hope today. And so we've got to create some chances and put her under some duress. You know, we've got to test her because she's not an experienced goalkeeper. And unfortunately for most teams, they've got a good team in front of her and they don't get many opportunities. But we really need to take some advantage of some opportunities on the attacking side and at least get her tested to see how she's going to hold up to it. And so I think if we can really do those things defensively and keep our lines tight and condense the midfield. And then offensively, don't always look to try to get inside the penalty box before we're really taking a look. I think we can test her with some long range shots and test her with some crosses and some things in there in the box to see what kind of decisions she's going to be able to make. I think we've got to do that tonight, and hopefully we can have some luck with that and, get something out of the game here on the road.
Randy, listen, thank you very much for letting us speak with you so close to game time. It's a nice treat for our listeners. We appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck tonight against the Seattle Reign out in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, Glenn, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We will take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Bud Light reminds you, you got to get over to HoustonDynamo.com, get your tickets for the Dynamo and Dash there. Bud Light has been longtime sponsors of soccer on the radio, including Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Bud Light also the official sponsor of the Mexican national team and Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, Soccer on the Radio. Me personally, we thank Bud Light.